A few months ago, I suppose, in the summertime, I did a little study, I suppose, just of myself going through the Word of God. And I just happened to look at the people at the cross. A few months ago, I probably preached a subject, the people at the cross. And when you begin to read the accounts leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that event and in that 24-hour period, there was a lot of people who came in contact with the cross. I think of Simon, who only was a passerby. And Simon happened to be in Jerusalem at that time. And after the scourging and the whipping of Christ, the Roman soldiers summoned Simon out of the crowd to carry the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was only a passerby. He was only in town for that little while. But while he was there, he came in contact with the Lord. And such was the impact and the power of the message of the cross and the person on the cross that it changed Simon's life forever. He went back to his family, a changed man saved by the grace of God. His son ended up in the mission field with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16. Rufus, you will find him there. All because of that one day event that Simon came in contact with the cross. His life was changed forever. And what joy was brought to his home. I think of the people that stood around the cross. Those who watched from afar. Those who took account of the event. Where the centurion had to say, truly this is the Son of God. It was the soldiers who nailed the Savior to the cross. But when you begin to look at the characters and the people around the cross, there are those, yes, who found the Lord as their own and personal Savior. But then on a sadder note, there were those who rejected the Lord and were lost for all of eternity. You see, men and women, they say that the Bible is the center of religion. The cross is the center of the Bible. But Christ is the center of the cross. And every time and sometime in your life, sinner friend, you will come to the point of the cross where you have to make that decision whether to follow Christ or to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And that's solemn, but that is a true reflect. Sinner friend, tonight, you're being brought afresh to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to look at these two men, Christ brought before Herod and Pilate, we have to see how this whole build-up and event began to take place. And we're told in Luke's Gospel 22 and 66, and as soon as it was day, the moment the sun broke into daylight, the elders and the scribes of the people, they came together and they held a council and they brought the Lord into that council. And they questioned him. And when the Lord said, ye say that I am the Christ, this was blasphemy in the eyes of the priests and the scribes. And because of that event and that council meeting, they led the Lord to the place where Pilate was. And they brought him before Pilate. And Pilate begins to examine the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to listen to their accusation of what they're accusing Christ of. Pilate's having none of it. Pilate's not going to accept this man blaspheming the Lord or God, because Pilate didn't really care about the Jewish God at all. And their argument and their witness to accuse Christ was on the grounds of he perverteth the nation. He's one that perverteth the nation. He's raising up hatred and spite throughout the land. And he has no tribute. He shows no tribute towards Caesar. You see, they were coming on political grounds. But when Pilate examined the Lord, and Pilate asked him, "Art thou Jesus, King of the Jews?" He says, "Thou sayest it." And in verse 4 of Luke 23, we have these words, "Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in him, which is worthy of death." You see, the Jews knew that Pilate was the only one who had the authority to carry out the crucifixion. And Pilate examined the Lord. And Pilate says, "I find no fault in him." And then as Pilate begins to question more, Pilate finds out, he says, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether he was a Galilean. And the moment Herod found out, or Pilate found out that Jesus was a Galilean, he knew that Herod was in the area. He was in Jerusalem at that time, and he was part of the jurisdiction of Herod. You see, these two public figures in life were at the forefront of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Herod was the leader of the Lake District, if one wants to say, of Galilee. And for Pilate, he was the governor of the Roman army. And now we find that Pilate finds he's a Galilean. Pilate thinks, "Well, I know how to get rid of this matter. I'll just push him on. And I'll send him over to Herod. And he can do what he wants with him." Are you like that tonight, friend? Trying to push the matter of salvation away? Trying to push it over to someone else? "Well, that message isn't for me. That's not me they're talking about. I don't need to know about this salvation. I'll just push that on to someone else." Is that what you're doing with Christ tonight? But I want you to notice something. There's something very sad about this man Herod, and it is very sad. And remember, when I studied this about the people of the cross, and I began to look at Herod, I can tell you, I didn't study it without a tear in my eye. Because here was a man who was a public leader. He was a figure fact. He was a head of a public. He was in the public eye. And when we come down to that verse 8, it says, "When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad." And I want you to get that tonight. Here was a man, when he saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. And then it says, "For he was desirous to see him." Here was a man, and the Bible says, who had waited for a long season. Herod had longed for the moment. He had longed for the opportunity. He had longed for the day when he would see Jesus Christ. You know what's sad about this? When he questioned him on many things, the Lord answered him, not a word. Not a word. And I think that's sad. To have a man who is so desirous, a man who has longed for a long season to come face to face with Christ, to get his own personal meeting with the Lord. And this opportunity has come. And he's face to face with the Son of God. He's face to face with Christ. And he asked the Lord in many questions, and the Lord answered him nothing. There was a silence. And my dear friend, tonight, you can be in this meeting tonight, and you've sat under the gospel for many a year, and you're longing tonight, "Oh, that the Lord would speak to my soul." And yet the Lord, to answer you nothing. I think that's sad. Why? Why did the Lord not answer this man? When he had longed for a long season, when he had desired for a long time to question the Lord, to speak to the Lord, and now he's face to face. He has his own personal contact with the Lord, and the Lord doesn't say a thing to him. Well, men and women, we begin to see the privilege that Herod had. You see, Herod was very privileged. Because you see, when Herod grew up in his generation and day, God had sent a man of the name of John the Baptist. There was a man in Herod's day who was a preacher of the gospel. He was a man who was sent by God. And Herod would have listened to the preaching and to the ministry of John the Baptist. And John was a holy man. John was a man sent from God. And John preached the gospel. And John's message was to point men and women to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible tells us that Herod listened to the ministry and to the preaching of John the Baptist. I want you to turn with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And if you come down to verse 6 of that chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. And then it goes up, he was sent to bear witness of that light. And if you come down then to verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now look at it. Which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There is John's message. John's preaching the gospel. And he's telling men and women of the coming of Christ. There's going to come one, and I'm a forerunner. I'm a witness of that light. Jesus Christ is going to come. And he's going to come to take away the sin of the world. He's going to go to the cross, and he's going to die on the cross, and he's going to shed his precious blood. And to as many as receive him, to them will he give him the power to become the sons of God. What a message from the preacher. Herod listened to that. And he listened with great contentment. Because John says that Christ will come. In that verse 14 he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Look at him. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, that's what Jesus Christ is. He's full of grace and he's truth. And John told the people, and John warned the people, and John preached the gospel, and John pointed men and women to the Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of the world. Will you turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 6. Mark's Gospel chapter 6. And I want you to come down to verse 20 of that chapter. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 20. For Herod feared John. Do you get it? Herod feared the preacher. He listened to him. He heard him. He heard him preach the gospel. And Herod feared the preacher, knowing that he was a just man and a holy man. And observed him, and when he heard him, you see, there is the proof of it, that John at Herod would have listened often to the ministry and to the preaching of John the Baptist, and he listened with great gladness. Great gladness. And then it goes on to say in that verse, and he did many things and heard him gladly. And I wonder, sinner friend, tonight, you've come to meeting after meeting, after gospel meeting, gospel mission after gospel mission, and you've listened to the preacher with gladness, and you love to hear the gospel, and you love to hear Christ preach. But tonight, my dear friend, you're still in your sin, and you're still in the broad road, which is leading to hell and destruction. And you're still without Christ. Is that you tonight? Love to hear the preaching of the gospel. Love to hear Christ preached in his fullness. Love to be in as many gospel missions and meetings as you can be. Listening to the preacher with gladness and still not saved. Until one day, John pointed out, Herod said, until that day when John the Baptist pointed out Herod's sin. You see, Herod was in a relationship with his brother's wife. And John the Baptist said in that verse 18 of Mark Gospel chapter 6 and verse 18, for John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee. Now get that. It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. You see, what the preacher was doing was, the preacher was reminding Herod of the Word of God. He brought him back to the old Leviticus law. He reminded him of the Ten Commandments. And he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It is wrong for thee to uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. And he remembered him of the Word of God. And the moment he confronted him with the Word of God, the Bible tells us that Herod was of envy with him. The woman, she could have killed him. Because the Bible says that there was a quarrel between John and Herodias. It says in verse 19, had a quarrel against him and would have killed the man. The woman would have killed the preacher. If she could get her hands on John the Baptist, she would have killed him. And I tell you, men and women tonight, there are men who have come in front and have been confronted with the gospel. Their sin has been pointed out to them. And with a rage, they could kill the preacher tonight. Sinners don't like their sin pointed out. And it's the responsibility of the man of God, the preacher of the Word of God, to point out the sin. Is God pointing your sin out tonight? And you don't like it? You don't like it one bit? I know men who've sat in a meeting and they've been out of meetings in a rage saying, who told that man I was in the meeting tonight? How did he know all about my sin? Nobody told him. It was God who told him through the Word of God. You see, sodomites don't like their sin pointed out. True, they don't. But homosexuality is a sin. Men don't like their sin pointed out when their relationship that's not right or committing adultery. It's not man points it out. It's the Word of God points it out. That thou shalt not commit adultery. Men don't like it pointed out if they're in business and they're roving and stealing all around the place. Listen, it's the Word of God. Thou shalt not steal, the Bible says. Thou shalt not covet another man's wife or his house or anything he has. That's the Ten Commandments. And you can keep all nine of the commandments and break one of them and sin against the whole law. And that's what John pointed out to Herod. He said, Herod, you're sinning against the law of God. It's not lawful for thee to have thy husband, thy brother's wife. And from that moment, men and women, Herod took the preacher and he put the preacher and he put him in jail. Now, Church of Jesus Christ, be listening to this tonight. There'll come a day and it can come to this land that men who preach the truth and point out the sin of the nation could be took and put in prison tonight for the preaching of the gospel. You see, they don't like it. And they're in a rage tonight. They're in absolute rage. It's time to silence the man of God. It's time to silence the preacher. And that's what Herod did. He took him
and he put him in jail. But you know something, men and women? There came a convenient day for Herod. There came a convenient day. And sinner, there will come a convenient day for you. There will. You will be brought to the line. You will be brought to the cross. And God will speak, and God will strive, and God will be merciful, and God will show you that you need to be saved. But the longer you refuse, the longer you reject, the longer you say no to Christ, my dear friend, even tonight, you could step over the dead line and be lost for all of eternity. You see, Herod, convenient day, was on his birthday. Because Herod run and held a birthday party. And they brought the damsel in who was the daughter of the mother who he was in adultery in a relationship with. And the damsel, she danced about until she pleased the heart of Herod. And Herod calls the damsel and he says, ask for whatever you will and I give you my oath on it. And the little damsel turned and she went to her mother and she says, Mother, what shall I ask them for? And the wicked old woman who had sat for many today, waiting for that one opportunity, she says, ask them for the head of John the Baptist. Ask them for the head of John the Baptist. And the damsel went, and she says to her, give me the head of John the Baptist. My Bible tells me this is why I fight to hold back tears. Look at verse 26 of Mark chapter 6. And the king was exceeding sorry. You see, there was his convenient season. It was his convenient day. God was bringing him right to the threshold. God was making him, bringing him right to the day of decision. And Herod had to say, yet for the oath's sake, and for their sake, which sat with him, he would not reject her. But rather than to listen to the preacher, and to receive the preacher's message, and to receive the gospel, and to receive Christ as a Savior, he rejected the Lord. And he accepted the word of the damsel. And he asked the executioner, bring me the head of John the Baptist. In a charger. Why did the Lord not answer John or answer Herod? Why did he not speak to him when he so long desired to be with to talk to the Lord Jesus? Why? Because the moment he took the head from John the Baptist, he cut off the voice of God. That's why the Lord didn't speak, men and women. The moment he removed the head of John the Baptist, he cut off the voice of God. And that's a very solemn thought. You see, men and women, you might not take the head from the preacher, but every time you say no to God's offer of salvation, you're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, you could say no for the final time and cut the voice of God off for all eternity. You know what's sad about this? Herod, that day at his birthday party, he sealed his eternity. And he was as sure as hell as if he was in it. There came a convenient season. There came a convenient day for Herod. And he sealed his eternity. And he never heard the voice of God speak to his soul ever again. You see, men and women, he heard much about Jesus. The Bible tells us that being in that part of Galilee,
heard would have heard of the rich, of those who had come to Christ, how they were healed, how he made the lame, how he had heard the preach. He even said in one account in Luke's gospel, John I beheaded, but who is this? John I beheaded, but who is this? His conscience was troubled. He thought John had risen from the dead, and he was troubled in his heart. He says, I've beheaded John. I've beheaded the preacher. But who is this? Who is this? And men and women, you can cut off the voice of God, and you can come to meeting after meeting after meeting, hearing Jesus preached, and yet God never speak to your soul again. And that's sad. That is sad. Can I warn you tonight? Felix said in the Word of God, some other convenient season I will call on thee. The Bible doesn't tell us that Felix ever got another opportunity to call the Apostle Paul about the things of eternity. The rich young rulers went, when he came to Christ, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. He went right to the sin. He went right to the problem. Your wealth is your God. It's your idols. Get rid of it. Sell it all and follow me. The Bible says that the rich young ruler, he went away sorrowful. Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Men and women, young people, it was prayed this in the prayer meeting. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but call upon him while he is near. Don't you worry about the meeting I have to go after this meeting. Because all that worries me tonight is your soul. And it will be my greater joy to lead and point you to the Lamb of God. But my friend, hear the preacher's voice warn you tonight. Don't cut off the voice of God. Don't say no to the Lord's offer of salvation. But this night, come to the Lord. And call upon the Lord and put your faith and trust in him. He answered them nothing. In closing, Pilate, they sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate was left with this massive decision. Pilate was in an absolute dilemma. Pilate is now face to face with Christ. He asks him many questions. He interviews him. And all the time, Pilate comes up with the same answer. I find no fault in him. 3 times in Scripture, he said, I find no fault in him. I find him not guilty of death or worthy of any death. And then Pilate comes up with a plan. Because he says that it's the day of the feast of the Jews, let us go into the prison. Let us find the worst offender that is in that prison. Bring that rascal, bring the worst down and out, wickedest, vilest offender that you have in your prison. Bring him out and put him. Surely the people will choose Barabbas, they're crucified rather than Christ. When they brought Barabbas forward, the Bible says the people cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. You know, they chose a murderer over Christ. Over Christ. His plan failed. Every time Pilate was trying to get rid of Christ, he didn't know how he was going to get this. He'd come up with a plan and it didn't work. It failed. And now he's under pressure. He's sitting in his house, and even his wife sends a note to him. She says, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things. Even his wife is under pressure. Pilate is brought to that position in his life. And listen to it. Pilate says, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And has the Lord brought you to the cross tonight, men and women? Has He brought you to the point that you have to choose tonight, what shall I do with Jesus? Which is called Christ. You have been trying after time to push away this matter of salvation. You've been trying to dodge around it, hedge about it. You've been trying to shut out the voice of the preacher. You've been digging in. You've been hard in your heart. But tonight God has brought you right to your convenient time, to your convenient season. You're like Pilate tonight. What then will I do with Jesus? Which is called Christ. You know what Pilate did? He says, give me a basin of water. And he took the basin of water and he washed his hands and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. He washed his hands of the matter of salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no one in this meeting tonight who is innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not one. There is not one in this meeting tonight who is innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the nails that nailed my Savior to the cross. It wasn't the crown of thorns or the whipping upon his back that brought him to the tree of Calvary. Men and women, it was my sin and your sin that nailed the Lamb of God to the cross. And yet it pleased the Lord, as it says in Isaiah. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Think of what Christ went through for your soul. And you say you're innocent of the blood of Christ. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I love the words of that hymn of John Newton when he penned the words. In evil long I took delight, in all my shame and fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled, to think He died for me. One man desiring to hear the Lord, and the Lord spoke not a word. Another man under pressure took a basin of water and washed his hands of the whole matter of salvation. Sinner, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ tonight? Are you going to come to the cross and accept the Lord as your Savior? Are you going to go out through the door rejecting God, going out into the dark of the night, and maybe sealing your eternity for all of eternity and never hear the voice of God speak to your soul again? Friend, tonight, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, but call upon Him while He is near. For Jesus says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We're going to sing in closing our final